Anybody glad to be in the house of God tonight? Anybody come expecting tonight? Praise God. He's a good God. Amen. Well, the year was January the 6th, 1968, when one of our own American heroes was engaged in a battle. And the way he handled that battle saved countless lives. In fact, he was an American helicopter pilot in Vietnam. And in January of 68, his job was to fly a helicopter into harm's way, rescuing wounded soldiers. Our American hero is Patrick Henry Brady. He actually went on to receive the Medal of Honor for landing in a minefield where he and some other pilots saved 51 men. And Patrick Henry Brady, flying the helicopter, rescued six men who were critically ill and was able to get them to the medics. He recalls, I was watching a YouTube video of this American hero, and he was sharing how when the call came through that the men were injured, they were in a field. He says there was such danger all around because every time they bought the helicopters in, the helicopters would be shot at. And of course, in a situation like that, you can just imagine the stress and the battle. And he said, when the call came in this time to rescue the soldiers, they were in an area of known landmines. And he said the downward force of the rotors on the helicopter was strong enough to blow the landmines. So there's the danger of him landing the helicopter on a mine. There's the danger of the men coming to the helicopter coming across a mine. And there's a danger of just being shot while landing. And then, of course, the force of the rotors causing landmines to go off. And that's what happened as he was landing the helicopter. The force of the rotors actually blew up some landmines around the helicopter. And two of the other servicemen on board his helicopter were injured. The helicopter took lots of collateral damage. But through the grace of God, he says he said that God just blessed him, that God protected him, that God guided him. He said there was no way to really get the helicopter in there, but he was thinking of saving those men. And he said it was just the hand of God on him that enabled him to land that helicopter, to get them on board and to get them out of harm's way. And he went on to receive the Medal of Honor for that harrowing event. And I want to use that as a backdrop tonight as I share. The title of this message is Remember This About the Battle You Face. My friend, you know, we all face battles. It doesn't matter who we are. It doesn't matter what side of the tracks we live on. It doesn't matter where we come from. It doesn't matter what job we have. From the pulpit to the pew, we all face battles. Oftentimes, people in the pew think that ministers don't face battles. But can I tell you something? That ain't true. Ministers face battles just like anybody else. But thank God we have a champion, and his name is Jesus. And he has overcome every power of the enemy. He's overcome every demonic influence, and he has won the battle already, praise God. And I felt, I've been kind of antithetical to this message. Tony and I have been on the beach for the last few days, and we've had such a wonderful time just in the sand and in the water. But before I left, the Lord gave me this message, and these points to share with you tonight. Remember this about the battle that you face. I can think in my own life of all the times I've faced battles, God's been faithful every single time. And I don't know what you're facing tonight, but I know this, God will be faithful to you every single time. Let's look to the word first. Let's go with me to 1 Samuel 17. I'm going to read from the New American Standard Version. I've got a couple scriptures here in New Living Translation, but most of these tonight are New American Standard. 1 Samuel 17, 47 through 49. You'll recognize immediately when I say 1 Samuel 17, well, David fought the giant. He had a Goliath of a battle, of a problem, and you'll recognize that as 1 Samuel 17. I want to highlight something David said to Goliath. I think it's very apropos to our discussion tonight. 1 Samuel 17, verse 47 through 49, David said, "And that all this assembly may know that the Lord does not deliver by sword or by spear, for the battle is the Lord's, and he will give you into our hands." You remember Goliath had been boasting, bragging. Verse 48, "And then it happened when the Philistine rose and came and drew near to meet David, that David ran quickly toward the battle line to meet the Philistine. And David put his hand into his bag and took from it a stone and slung it and struck the Philistine on his forehead. And the stone sank into his forehead so that he fell on his face to the ground." And you remember after that, David, of course, went and took his sword and cut his head off. But I love the way David, man, in this battle, you can tell that David is ready. He's got his confidence in God. And let me tell you this, when you're going through a battle, you need to have your confidence in the Lord. When Goliath taunted him, when Goliath said he was going to cut his head, man, David charged right toward him. When the battle started, David was not backing up. David was not whimpering. He charged right toward Goliath. He had his confidence, not in himself, but his confidence was in the Lord. Go with me to Deuteronomy chapter 20. Deuteronomy chapter 20. Remember this about the battle you face. You know, my friend, we all go through battles. You may not be facing a battle tonight, but, you know, your battle may come tomorrow morning. Your battle may come 2 weeks from now, whatever. If you're living for Christ, if you're a Christian living for Christ, there are times when we will face battles. But thank God, Jesus has already won the victory. Deuteronomy 20, verses 1 through 4 in the New American Standard says this: "When you go out to battle against your enemies and see horses and chariots," this is God talking, "when you go out to battle against your enemies and see horses and chariots and people more numerous than you, do not be afraid of them. For the Lord your God, who brought you up from the land of Egypt, is with you. When you are approaching the battle, the priest shall come near and speak to the people, and he shall say to them, 'Hear, O Israel, you are approaching the battle against your enemies today. Do not be faint-hearted. Do not be afraid or panic or tremble before them.'" Verse 4, "For the Lord God is the one who goes with you to fight for you against your enemies to save you." You know, as I say, I don't know what kind of battle you might be facing tonight. I just know that in prayer, I felt led to share this message with you. So many people today are facing the battle of loneliness. And sometimes when relationships end, loneliness can set in. And that's a battle, because people can get shaky in their faith. They can get unstable in trusting God, and they can get discouraged. And anytime a believer gets discouraged, there's going to be a problem, because you see, it takes faith. Without faith, it's impossible to what? It's impossible to please the Lord without faith. And it's why the enemy loves to try. He loves to try. He doesn't have a right to do it. He doesn't have authority to do it. We have to forfeit our redemptive realities for him to do it, but he loves to try to discourage the believer. But the most important thing we can do is not allow him. That's why the joy of the Lord is so important. That's why it's so important to keep the joy of the Lord. And sometimes when you're going through a battle, sometimes the most important thing you can do is just say, "Ha, ha, ha. In the name of Jesus, ha, ha, ha. Never let your troubles get you down. I'm not going to let my troubles get me down. Ha, 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 devil, ha, ha, ha." Sometimes you just have to say, "Ha, ha, ha." Everything going wrong, sometimes y'all just say, "Ha, ha, ha. Just not going to let you steal my joy. Just not going to let you do it." The enemy wants to rob you of your joy. Why? Because then he will discourage you. And a discouraged Christian is close to being a defeated Christian. And you see, that's not consistent with Scripture, because Jesus has already won the victory for you and I. Loneliness can present a terrible battle. I've said before, you know, I remember after going through a divorce, and after I walked through a divorce, my kids were with me, and I remember my oldest son, he called and said, "Dad," he said, "listen, we're trying to save money to buy our first house, and we just want to come, can I come home, and we just want to save some money?" And I said, "Oh, sure, man, come on." So he and his wife and my grandson, they all came, and oh man, that was just great, because I saw them every day, and you know, they need something every day. You're cooking for them or helping them do something, you know. And it was great. And then my youngest, JP, he was 17 going into his senior year of high school. So what are you saying? Everybody was home. I wasn't lonely initially. But then came that next year, JP was off to college and he was on a golf scholarship. So he, you know, you saw him every 3 months. And the kids got the money for their house and they moved out right at the same time JP headed off to college. And for the first time, I found myself, I could hear the creaks of the house. I could hear all the nuances in the attic. I found myself feeling lonely. I had never been alone before. I had never experienced actual loneliness before. I'd never realized what people go through. And as I say, you know, my story, I'm not going to repeat all of that, but, you know, I was reading Isaiah 40, and, you know, those who wait on the Lord will renew their strength, and I've shared my testimony, and I read that. The Lord had me read that, I don't know, more than 10 times, and somewhere after I'd read that more than 10 times, the Lord spoke to me. The Holy Ghost spoke to me. He said, Bill, you're trying to get renewed strength with an unrenewed mind. I'd been telling the Lord, Lord, you promised to renew my strength. You promised to renew my strength. But he told me, you're trying to get renewed strength with an unrenewed mind. And you're going to have to renew your mind. And I got busy right then that night. And that next morning, I felt a mantle of strength on me. When I woke up, I rolled out of bed on my knees with my hands in the air. And I said, I can run through a troop and leap over a wall, God. And he carried me in that strength. I said, God's got strength for you if you're feeling lonely. Sometimes the loss of a job can be such a terrible battle to face. And there are so many people, especially men, find their identity in their work and what they do. And ask a man to tell you about himself, he'll tell you what he does usually for work. And when people lose their jobs, it can be a devastating thing. They find themselves out of kilter, unbalanced, facing a battle. Finances can present battles. Health, your own personal health in your body. A family member going through changes. All of these things can present a battle. But remember this about the battle you face. Number one, as I say, the battle is the Lord's. I said, remember this first, that the battle is the Lord's. You know, in 2 Chronicles 20, there's a story. And the king of Israel is worried and he's facing a terrible situation. Go with me to 2 Chronicles 20, verse 12. 2 Chronicles 20, verse 12. The king gets bad news in the early chapters. We're going to go down to verse 12. But in verses 1 and 2, he finds out three armies are attacking him. And he says this, verse 12. The king of Israel says, king of Judah, he says, oh, our God, will you not judge them? For we are powerless before this great multitude who are coming against us, nor do we know what to do, but our eyes are on you. You know, when you go through a battle, you need to keep your eyes on the Lord. He said, the king said, we don't know what to do, but our eyes are on you. Look at verse 13. All of Judah was standing before the Lord with their infants and their wives and their children. And then in the midst of the assembly, the Spirit of the Lord came upon Jehaziel, the son of Zechariah, the son of Benaiah, the son of Jeiel, the son of Mattaniah, the Levite of the sons of Asaph. And he said, listen, all Judah and all the inhabitants of Jerusalem, King Jehoshaphat, thus says the Lord to you. Now, this is what the Lord says to the king and to the people of Judah. Do not fear or be dismayed because of this great multitude, for the battle is not yours, but God's. Tomorrow go down against them. Behold, they will come up by the ascent of Ziz, and you will find them at the end of the valley in front of the wilderness of Jerel. And you will not need to fight in this battle. Station yourselves, stand and see the salvation of the Lord on your behalf. O Judah and Jerusalem, do not fear or be dismayed. Tomorrow go out to them, for the Lord is with you. So in the midst of all of their concern and worry and fear, God brings a word to Judah and to the king, King Jehoshaphat. And the word is this, the battle is not yours. God tells the king and the people, the battle's not yours, the battle's mine. And so I want to tell you this first point here, the battle is the Lord's. And when the battle is God's, it means we don't have to worry about it. I said, now, if we have responsibilities in life, we should handle our responsibilities. But the care, the weight, the Bible says, cast your care on the Lord. And I tell you, when you cast your care on the Lord, the peace of God can come on you. There are so many people today who are living without the peace of God. When the Bible says in Colossians 3:15, let the peace of Christ, what? Rule in your heart. Let the peace of Christ. You know, there's nothing wrong. There is nothing malfunctioning about the peace of the Lord. The peace of the Lord. How many thank God for the peace of God? The peace of God can keep you in the midst of turmoil, in the midst of trouble, in the midst of the battle. The peace of the Lord can comfort you. The peace of the Lord can enable you to sleep at night. Acts chapter 12, Peter chained between two soldiers. He went to sleep in the peace of God. And yet so many people can't sleep. So many people are up. They're in a battle. They're worried. Because listen, when the battle is the Lord's, you don't have to worry about it. And one sign that people have not turned the battle over to the Lord is when they're worrying about it. When we get into fear and anxiety and worrying and complaining, those are all telltale signs that we have not submitted the battle to the Lord. But right in the midst of adversity, right in the midst of your storm, the Lord wants to give you peace. He wants to give you peace. Remember this, the battle is the Lord's. Don't carry the weight of it. Look at Psalm 55:18. The scripture says, Psalm 55:18, in the, this is the New Living. Can you show me this in the New Living? Psalm 55:18 in the New Living. He ransoms me and keeps me safe from the battle waged against me, though many still oppose me. What a powerful scripture. He ransoms me and keeps me safe from the battle waged against me, though many still oppose me. I said, the battle is the Lord's. Proverbs 21:31, the New American Standard. Proverbs 21:31. The horse is prepared for the day of battle, but victory belongs to the Lord. I said, the battle is the Lord's. And one of the things you have to do when you're facing a battle is determine that you're not going to be under the weight of it. And you're going to have to determine, I'm going to cast my cares on the Lord. And I tell you, there's nothing like the peace of God when you're going through a battle, but God's peace comes on you. And his peace with strength, and his peace with just joy can keep you right in the middle of the battle. The battle is the Lord's, number one. Number two, the battlefield is your mind. What was your first point, brother? The battle is the Lord's. Stop worrying about it. You're going to have to cast your cares on the Lord. You're going to have to trust God. The scripture says, be anxious for nothing and everything by prayer, supplication, with thanksgiving. Let your requests be made known unto God, and then the peace of God that passes all understanding will guard your heart and your mind. The battle is the Lord, number one. Number two, the battlefield is your mind. The battlefield is your mind. And can I say this? Don't allow your mind to become a minefield. And just as in my opening story, our American hero, Patrick Henry Brady, landed that helicopter over and over again. He said he had to land it on a dime each time. He had to get through the fire, the attack of the weapons being fired at the helicopter, plus land it in the same place, plus avoid the mines. And oh, man. But so often the battle takes place in our mind. And is why the scripture advises you and I so strongly, it's not optional, that we control our mind and we control our thought life. Go with me now, 1 Peter 1:13, New Living Translation, 1 Peter 1:13. A minefield. If we're not careful, well, don't let the enemy plant mines in your mind. Don't let the enemy make your mind a minefield, because he will try to trap you with foolish thinking and unwise thoughts. And we do know this, that the greatest enemy to the church is wrong believing, wrong thinking and wrong believing. The enemy is a defeated foe. He is the great enemy of the church. Satan is. But our own wrong thinking and wrong believing are a greater harm and danger to us if we're not careful. We have to guard our mind. 1 Peter 1:13 in the New Living Translation says, so prepare your minds for actions and exercise self-control. Put all your hope in the gracious salvation that will come to you when Jesus Christ is revealed to the world. Listen, prepare your minds for action and exercise self-control. That's our job. Our job is to control our thought life. Our job is to control. You can't afford to let just any goofy thought in your mind. And when you're going through a battle, you've got to have God's perspective on what you're going through. Man, I've seen people in going through battles. Pastor Tad and I, one day, we went into a hospital room, and Brother Jelke from church, oh, man, he was in bad shape in that hospital. You remember that, Pastor Tad? And the doctors were whispering, and they were all talking like, you know, he wasn't going to make it. Oh, man. But, man, they put their faith in God, their trust in God, their thoughts on God, and God brought that man out of there. Praise God. And every time I see him and a smile on his face, I say, Jelke, man, God is a good God. Man, I said, God can do the impossible. But you and I are going to have to control our thoughts. And we're going to have to keep God's perspective. And it's so easy to just give way to a tidal wave of wrong thinking, wrong thoughts, wrong thinking, wrong, 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 wrong. But I'll tell you what, when we listen to the Lord, He can lead us and He can guide us. So let the Lord give you your thoughts and give you your perspective. Romans 12, go with me, New Living Translation. Romans 12:2. New Living Translation. Don't copy the behavior and the customs of this world, but let God transform you into a new person by changing the way you think. I like that. Romans 12, verse 2, New Living. Don't copy the behavior and customs of this world, but let God transform you into a new person by changing the way you think. And then you will learn to know God's will for you, which is good and pleasing and perfect. God wants to change the way we think. Man, why? Because the battlefield is our mind. The battlefield is our mind. Colossians 4:2 in the New Living. Look there with me. Colossians chapter 4, verse 2. It says, devote yourselves to prayer with an alert mind and a thankful heart. Devote yourselves to prayer with an alert mind and a thankful heart. Praise God. And so we have to remember that the battle is the Lord's. Don't carry the weight of it. If you're getting into fear, yeah, you're carrying the weight of it. When you know that the battle is the Lord's, you won't accept fear. When you know that the battle is the Lord's, you're going to walk in peace. When you know the battle is the Lord, you're going to walk in love. Some people, you know, they're so grumpy. They're going through a battle and they're so grumpy. Don't be grumpy. Don't be a little crabby when you're going through a battle. Don't make everybody walk on eggshells around you. I said, amen. Walk in love. Be a blessing. If you'll walk in love, be a blessing. Watch the Lord bring you through. The battle is the Lord's. And when you turn it over to Him, you can be like Peter and just rest and just have peace. Glory to God. And secondly, we said the battlefield is your mind. And thirdly, the battle has already been won. We know that. The battle has already been won. I said, give me an amen here. The battle is the Lord's, the battlefield is your mind, and the battle has already been won. You know, the famous battle, Battle of New Orleans in the War of 1812, is a battle that's very famous because the American and British negotiators signed a peace treaty in Ghent on December 24th of 1814. But the battle raged on in the Battle of New Orleans until January the 8th, 1815. So think about that. The war ended in December of 1814, the Battle of New Orleans. But soldiers fought there until January the 8th, after the peace treaty was already signed. And one reason that happened is because news traveled slow and the folks in New Orleans fighting didn't get the news that the war was over, that the British had already succumbed to defeat. And so they didn't get the news that the battle was already over. And so they kept fighting individual skirmishes, even though the battle was already won. And I don't know what you're facing tonight, but I can tell you this, whatever you're facing in your life, it's a little skirmish. But the battle's already been won. I said, Jesus, our conquering King, has already won the battle. Glory be to God. And so it really doesn't matter. I'm not minimizing what you face. We all face things. But let me tell you this.
He is the God
who can bring you through it. And if you trust him, he's the one who will bring you through to the other side. He's already won the victory.
And one of the things that we have to do is exclaim out of our mouth and out of our heart that the victory has already been won.
Glory to God.
And when you know that the victory has already been won, you can just cut a step with joy. I said, when a believer knows that the victory has already been won, you're not worried about any individual skirmish. I said, when you finally realize that the battle has already been won, that Jesus, our conquering King, has already won the victory for you and I, you can walk in peace. You can walk in joy. Don't fool yourself because you might be going through something. But remember, if you're going through something, go through it. Don't stand there in the middle of it and get caught and trapped in it. Walk on through it. Amen. David said, if I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, he said, I'll fear no evil. So don't stay there. Let me tell you this. Because the battle's already been won, God deserves the praise for it. I said, the battle's already been won, and he deserves the praise. Stand up on your feet with me, my brother and sister. Has God ever done anything for you? I appreciate it. He's done something for two people in here. I said, is anybody here? And you say, the Lord, my God, he's helped me not just once or twice, but over and over and over and over again. God has been good to me. He's a deliverer. I said, he's a healer. I said, he's the God of the breakthrough. I said, he's the God of your finances. I said, he's the God who will put bread on your table. I said, he's the God who will put a roof over your head. I said, God can do anything but fail. I said, he is a mighty good God. Is there anybody here who says, the Lord my God, he is a conquering king. The Lord my God has already won the battle, and I'm going to give him the praise for it. You ought to praise him because it's true. If Jesus died, you ought to praise him because it's true. If Jesus was resurrected and it's true, you ought to praise him because it's true. If he raised you when he was raised, you ought to bless his name because it's true. You ought to bless the Lord. Some people are waiting to bless him. What you waiting on? I'm waiting to bless him. I'm waiting to see how it comes out. No, the battle's already been won. I said the victory's already been won. What you waiting on? You need to bless him. Bless his holy name because he's worthy. I said he's already done it. And when you give him the victory, when you proclaim the victory and give him the glory, oh my goodness, praise him for it. Let me tell you this, you need to rehearse the things that God has done for you. I can't tell what he's done for you, but I can tell you what he's done for Bill. I can tell you, for Bill, he's brought me from a mighty long way. For Bill, I took my sisters one time, we were in New Jersey going around, and New Shrewsbury, New Jersey. We had where our family lived down by the shore, and Newman Springs Road. And I slowed down the rental car. I said, right here, I was trying to cross the street with my bike. We weren't allowed to cross Newman Springs. It'd be like running across Memorial here at noontime, you know. And so our family had a rule. You couldn't go. I wasn't allowed to cross Newman Springs. But on the other side of Newman Springs Road was a candy store. I had my mind on the candy. And I had 50 cents ready to blow it all. Back in those days, you could go to a candy store and 50 cents, man. You had big, anybody know what I'm talking about? You had big money, you had 50 cents. And even though my parents had said, don't you cross that street, I had my bike and I saw the traffic coming, Newman Springs Road, the traffic was going and going. And I thought, I'll just get off my bike and try and run across. And as I started to run it across, I was terrified as a car was approaching me at a high rate of speed, and I knew I was about to get hit by that car. And as I let go of my bike, I heard the screech of the brakes, and oh my goodness, I remember the bike hitting me, and I got thrown into the curb, but I got up and I was fine, and I didn't have a broken bone in my body. The lady behind the car was terrified. And I still think to myself, if it had not been for the Lord who was on my side back there on Newman Springs Road, I said, I can't tell it like you can tell it. You know what the Lord has done for you. But what I'm saying is God is worthy of the praise, and the battle has already been won. And I said, we have to rehearse what he's done, because if we don't rehearse what he's done, here's what the enemy will try to do in our minds. He'll try to reverse what has happened. So we must rehearse it again and again, how God brought you through, how God brought you over, how God gave you the victory. Rehearse it again and again so that the enemy won't have any success trying to reverse it. I tell you, when we realize that the battle has already been won, we'll act like it's true. We'll act like it's true. There's a difference sometimes, my brother and sister, in how we act when we know something, when there's something that you know, that you know, that you know. I've said so often, one time I was watching Tiger Woods play golf, and back in the days of the old video, you know, VHR tapes or whatever, and I'd gone to church and taped one of the major tournaments, and I accidentally messed up. The tape hadn't rewound itself, and I just came in the house after church, pushed play, saw Tiger holding the trophy. I said, oh, man, I messed up, because I wanted to rewind. I thought, man, I messed up. He already holding the trophy. I thought, I'm going to watch it anyway. I rewound the whole tape. He started off so terrible. He hit balls left, right, had bogeys. The announcers were saying he's not going to make it today. He don't have it today. You can't win major tournaments like this. I was shouting at the TV, oh, yes, he can. Oh, yes, he is. I didn't already see the end. I seen him hold the trophy. And that's not what the angels say about you. When the devil says, you ain't going to make it this time, the angel says, oh, yes, she is. Oh, yes, she is. She already holding the trophy. Jesus already gave the victory. They say, he ain't going to make it. Oh, yes, he is. I already seen him hold the trophy. I already seen him. He's already got the victory. Oh, my goodness, my brother and sister. Come on, let's praise him one more time. Lift your hand to the Lord. God's done something for you. Oh, man, glory to God. Father, we thank you tonight. We bless you. We honor you. We acknowledge that the battle is yours. We acknowledge the battlefield is in the mind. We acknowledge that the battle has already been won. Whatever we face, it's a formality, because we trust you and we trust your word. As we've sung tonight, Father, we look unto you and believe in you and believe in your word. And we thank you for victory. In Jesus' name, amen. My friend, if you need something tonight, we're going to close in a minute, and I want you to come down here. Our prayer partners are coming down here right now. And if you need something from the Lord, you want them to agree with you. Somebody wants to be saved. You want to be born again. You want to be filled with the Spirit. You can do that right now. Come on down here. Let the Lord help you and bless you. If you're a lady, come to the ladies. Guys, go to the guys. Whatever you need. I want to be saved. I want to be filled with the Spirit. Hey, I just want somebody to agree with me. Brother, I'm going through a battle. Can somebody pray with me? Yes, yes, and yes. Come on down here. Let these anointed folks pray for you. Now, in the audience, sit back down. Let's take the offering for Pastor Hagin real quick. His birthday's coming up. And September's just around the corner. We want the man of God to be blessed. You can text to give tonight. And text to 28950. This time, use the special word Hagin, H-A-G-I-N, because that'll go to a birthday fund. Text to 28950. Use the word Hagin, H-A-G-I-N. And those monies will go directly to the birthday fund, okay? And you can give using the offering envelope. You can give that way. However you want to give. Don't miss your blessing at home. Let's bless the man. Pastor is the greatest pastor this side of heaven. And we love him. And we never know what to get him. So it's always best just to let him get what he wants for himself. Amen. And so we just want to be a blessing to the man of God. He's given his life tirelessly to serve and help people and to obey the Lord and to obey the call of God. So if you're ready, and however you're giving, let's pray together. Father, thank you so much for your goodness and grace in our lives. We honor you and thank you for all the victories that you've brought us through and all of the victories yet to come. And as we think of Pastor Hagin, you've used him, Lord, in our lives to teach us the way of faith, to teach us the way of victory, to teach us about the word and the blood, and to teach us, Father, how to walk in victory. Father, we pray he'll be blessed on his birthday. So receive this offering now. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, let's let these men do their good work here. And if you'll stay seated, unless you're coming forward. If you want to come forward for prayer, come on forward. Other than that, stay seated. These guys are really quick. Just give them a moment, and they'll have it out of here. They'll have the offering out of here just very, very quick. But thank God, if you're going through a battle, don't be discouraged, you know, don't get like, you know, Elijah. He ran off somewhere and God found him under a juniper tree and had to say, Elijah, what are you doing under this juniper tree? He said, I'm the only one left. I'm the only one serving you. I'm the only one left. He had the wrong information and the wrong perspective. Hadn't controlled his thoughts. Yeah. But God came to get him, and God will come to get you. And it doesn't matter what you're going through, Christ has already provided the victory for you. Amen. So as you face your week, be your normal, happy self. Walk in love and be a blessing to those around you. And if you do face a challenge, then just know that the battle's already been won. The victory's already been achieved. And so just praise him in advance. Israel's problem was they would never praise God in advance. The only time they'd praise him is when they saw the answer right in front of them. But the life of faith requires you and I to praise God in advance. And if you'll praise him because the battle's already won, he'll bring you through to victory. It doesn't matter whether it's health in your body or finances in your bank account. Whatever it is, God will solve it for you. All right, looks like these men have gotten that out. Stand on your feet one more time. Father, we thank you now. We honor you and bless you. Protect us as we go, and then bring us back on Wednesday for Hour of Power. Again, we thank Josiah and the whole team for leading us tonight. Have a great week, and we'll see you right here, Hour of Power. God bless.